Welcome, everyone. We have another sunny day today, and it's nice to be out, and it's nice to be with each other, and we can be thankful for that. And the fact that the choir is going to have a soup lunch after church, and that's always nice on a fall day. And the donations for the soup lunch are going, if you've noticed, when they were playing the bells, how shiny and beautiful they were looking because they were refurbished over the summer. And the money raised today is going towards those bells. On Tuesday, the ladies of the UCW, now that means all the women in the church. Everyone is welcome, all the women. And it's at 1:30 here at the church. And it's going to talk about the autumn season. And so everybody, all the women are welcome to join us. And after that, next Saturday is the fall rummage sale. So we need people to help set up, sort through everything, get everything set up to sell stuff. And then afterwards, it's like the loaves and fishes. There seems to be lots left over that needs to be delivered to the different organizations that help people. So if you can help in any way, talk to Kim Baird and say what you can do. And that would be so welcome, because all the money raised by the UCW, a lot of it comes right back here to the church for the things that are needed. Now, there are some things that aren't. Oh, yes, Halloween. The Halloween in the park, where we are going to be one of the people distributing candy to the children in this drive-by.
Walk-by.
It's a walk-by. I thought it was a drive-by. No, there you go. Walking. Yeah, there's all kinds of activities that are going to go on. And at the back is a little witch with a little barrel in front of her for financial donations. And if you have bought candy, there's also a basket for that as well, because there's going to be between 500 and 600 children at this Halloween in the park, and there's going to be so many activities, and this is our way to reach out into the community so they can see us and know that we are alive and well. We need greeters for the door so people feel welcome when they come in, and we also need readers, so that you don't hear the same voice all the time. So there is a sign-up sheet at the back for both the readers and the greeters. And if it would be really nice if people did that. And even if you can't stand for a while to greet, you pull the chair over, you sit down, and you talk to people that way. That's how I do it. So Catherine is really good at greeting people at the door, but we need some other people to do it as well. And also, Kim Robinson is really good at reading, but she needs other people to read as well. Thank you. Oh. I'll get out of your way.
Good morning, I'm Wendy Grant. I just thought you probably noticed, but yesterday our new caretaker, Dean, did a temporary fix on the front steps. So he put cement in there. It still looks wet this morning. I don't know that it is or not, but maybe step over it if you can. But I just thought I'd let you know that it is a temporary fix. In the spring, the plan is likely going to be to cut that whole section out and put a new section in so that it looks nice and neat. But at least we're a little bit safer for the next months ahead. Thanks.
Good morning. Welcome to worship again. As we begin this time together, let's take a moment and ground ourselves, taking a deep breath in and out, and remembering that on this territory, we gather on the land of the Onkwehonwe, and we acknowledge and give thanks for the enduring presence of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people on this land from time immemorial. And as Knox St. Paul's United Church, we are committed to moving forward in the spirit of reconciliation and respect. Let's call each other to worship. Welcome in the name of the one who calls us to gather. Persistent in our faith. Holding on to the hope that we have in Christ. To encounter the holy in this place. And as we worship God, we remember that we are partners and participants in the work of God. Let's pray. Holy One, we come together as a people ready to reach out in love, to act with commitment, and to serve with humility. Be with us as we continue our journey of faith. Give us new purpose within our lives and new energy as we follow in the ways of Jesus the Christ, through whom we pray. Amen. I invite you to join together and let's sing Seek Ye First.
Seek ye first the kingdom.
Let's join in our prayer of confession. Persistent God, we are inspired by all we learn from Jesus and the stories of our faith that have been handed down through generations. We are weary and wondering whether our hope is strong enough and our faith is deep enough to live into your call to discipleship. Friends, God is persistent in God's grace, day and night without ever ceasing. Creator continues to call forth new life. Christ continues to bring forth redemption. And the Holy Spirit continues to care for our needs. Let us lean into that persistence and forgiveness so that we may closely follow in Christ's way. Our hymn before the time for the young at heart, it's only one line that we repeat, so we'll sing it twice before and once after. But there are actions. So I'm going to invite you to do the actions. You might know different actions than I do, and that is fine. But let's see if I can do this. My actions, the ones I learned, are like a rock, God is under our feet. Like the starry night sky, God is over our head. Like the sun on the horizon, God is ever before. Like a river runs to ocean, our home is in God evermore. I'll talk us through it. Let's do the actions together. Like a rock, God is under our feet. Like the starry night sky, God is over our head. Like the sun on the horizon, we have a horizon, sun, God is ever before. Like the river runs to ocean, our home is in God evermore. Let's try singing it. We don't have Sunday school today, and so I'm keeping the old format, but keeping an activity in for it to make it more intergenerational. So I have a challenge for you. Now, if you have a hard time standing up, by all means, please have a seat, because this is an active activity. But I'm tapping into your competitive nature. So it's a competition. I want your arms out. Okay, and once again, I'm channeling my inner karate teacher. Make sure you're not going to hit anyone. And let's do arm circles. And we're going to see who can do them the longest.
Oh my Jesus. Okay, I'm done.
We're doing good. And if you need to stop, stop. Well, it depends. If you don't want to hear the sermon, just keep it up.
We're trying to get everybody hungry for lunch.
All right. So if you're done, If you can't do it anymore, have a seat. All right, we have a lot of folks. Is it starting to burn? Yeah. You can change directions if you need to. All right. I'm surprised. We're going longer than I expected. You're not that old. No, I didn't say you were that old. I'm saying I teach kids karate and I hear a lot of whining, and they don't go this long. So. All right. How are we doing? All right, we can stop. Have a seat. And if you want to persist, keep going. However, you might hear a word, might have heard a word that we have said a few times in our liturgy, in our prayers today. Persistence. And the scripture that's coming up is about persistent widow. And what it takes to keep on going, right? I told you I was tapping into our competitive nature. So that got our competitive spirits going, and we didn't necessarily want to give up, right? Sometimes there are some of us who are super competitive and just want to win. Sometimes there's something else that keeps us going. Maybe we're just really good at determination and just really good at keeping on. My grandma always said, it's not stubbornness, it's determination. So there's that. Maybe there's something else that keeps us going. And I want us to think about that as we listen to the scripture today and the persistence that shows up. All right, let's sing Like a Rock. Just the one verse. We'll stay seated, but you can still do the actions if you want.
Prayer of Illumination. Holy God, open our spirits to perceive your kingdom growing in the hidden faithful work of justice and compassion. Tune our hearts to receive the widow's cries as she seeks justice. Let her cries resonate through the ages, and may they spark in us the continued strength to seek justice in your name. Amen. Our first focus lesson is Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104, and we have a refrain. Oh, how I love your law. It is my study all day long.
Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is always with me.
I have gained more insight than all my teachers, for your instructions is my wish. I have held my feet back from every evil way in order to keep your word.
I have not stirred from your presence, for you yourself have taught me.
How sweet is your word on my tongue, sweeter than honey in my mouth. The gospel reading this morning is from Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my accuser." For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not finally come and slap me in the face." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" May our sacred story help us as Knox St. Paul's United Church to hear God's continuing call to us.
Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be inspired by you this day, God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I heard someone say something, and it's been rewiring my brain ever since. They said, "In the church, we don't have volunteers. We have disciples." Now, we can have a long conversation about whether that statement is 100% true, but here's what I hear in it. As the church, we are followers of Christ. We are disciples. And as Christ's disciples, we are called to participate in our faith. And how we participate can include many things. It can be praying, investing our resources in the work that we do together, deepening our spirituality, standing up against injustice, or offering acts of service amongst other things. And that last one, some people might call volunteering. But when we frame what we do as discipleship, we connect it with why we do it. When someone reads scripture in our service, and no, Carolyn and I did not connect about what was being said before the service about the need to read scripture. But when someone reads scripture in our service, it's not to give the preacher a break. Preachers don't mind talking for long periods of time. It's because worship is something that we do together. The word liturgy literally means the work of the people. We are all needed to do it. When someone greets folks at the door, it's not just to hand out bulletins. It's because we know what it's like to feel lost and alone and coming into someplace new. And God has called us to build a city where no one journeys alone, and that's one way we can make that connection. We practice hospitality because Jesus himself reached out to people on the margins and made them feel like they belonged. When someone helps prepare meals at the Agape Center or supports a food drive, it's not just because there are people who are hungry in this world and we know it's a good thing to feed hungry people. It's an act of faith, a sign that we believe in the God who fills the hungry with good things. So yeah, we do have volunteers in the church. But deeper than that, we have disciples, people who are participating in the ongoing work of God's realm. The thing is, even when we connect what we do as Christ disciples with why we do it, discipleship isn't easy. There's this thing called the prosperity gospel, and maybe you've heard of it, and it preaches that if you believe in Jesus, everything's going to work out. Your life is going to get instantaneously better. And the more you believe, the better it gets. We know that's not entirely true. Putting our faith in Christ, yes, it changes our lives. But it doesn't mean our problems all disappear. And it doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to good people. In fact, sometimes living a life of faith makes things harder because we start to care more deeply. Maybe we see more clearly and love more bravely. And when things fall apart, when life's challenges seem insurmountable, when prayers go unanswered, when injustice seems to win, when the world feels heavy, it can feel a lot like God is that unjust judge in Jesus' parable. We keep praying. We keep showing up. We keep asking for what's right. We keep on being Christ's disciples, and sometimes it feels like God just isn't listening all that much, and does God even care? That's the hard part of discipleship. The part where it feels like faith is more like a never-ending struggle requiring our persistence rather than any kind of offering of a reward. But the good news is this parable isn't about an unjust judge. It's about a persistent widow. And about God who, unlike the judge, does hear and does care and does respond. Jesus taught that even if a hard-hearted judge will finally give in for fear that a woman with no one to protect her and nothing to lose might turn to violence against him, how much more will God, who loves us and who doesn't fear our responses, grant justice to those who cry out day and night? For that matter, how much more will God persist in loving us and persist in working through us, crying out for us to continue in that struggle against injustice? This parable is a story about relationship, about how we persist with God and how God persists with us. Because discipleship isn't a transaction. It's a way of life. It's a rhythm of prayer and action and trust that keeps going even when things are slow to change. The widow kept on showing up. She kept demanding justice. She didn't have any guarantees that the judge would do anything to help her. She was fighting a losing battle in a world where she had no power. She had no reason to win, but she refused to quit. And maybe that's the key. That discipleship isn't always about feeling certain or inspired or on top of our game. It's about showing up again and again, even when we're tired, even when we're fighting what seems like a losing battle, trusting that God is still at work, just as God trusts that we are still at work, reminding us that we are part of something that is bigger than ourselves. Either as individuals or as people in this building. Because that's how resurrection happens. One small, persistent yes at a time. When we see what we do, the praying, the welcoming, the serving, the giving, when we see that as discipleship and not as maintenance, it changes the story. It reminds us that we are part of something that God is still doing. It connects us to the source of all that is, to God who feeds, sustains, and renews the world. It helps us see the bigger picture, and that what we do together matters, and that in connection we find joy, because God's realm isn't built in grand gestures, but in thousands of small and faithful acts of persistence that add up to something eternal. And so, if you're tired, that's okay. If you're discouraged, it's real. But don't mistake tiredness for failure. Even the persistent widow got weary, and she still remained connected to her reason for demanding justice. Persistence and discipleship don't always mean doing more. Sometimes they mean remembering who it is that we belong to. Persistent discipleship is about staying connected to the one who calls us. It's about trusting that God is still doing something good even when we can't perceive it yet. Persistence doesn't always mean more effort. Sometimes it means resting in hope. Sometimes it means letting grace carry us when we've run out of strength. Sometimes it means praying the simplest prayer that we can manage. God, keep me trusting in you. Because the truth is that God is just as persistent with us as that widow was with the judge. God keeps nudging, keeps forgiving, keeps feeding, and keeps calling us toward justice and joy. And that is what makes us disciples. Not that we never grow weary, but that even in our weariness, we trust the one who never gives up on us. And as we do the work of discipleship, remember that we're not simply volunteers. We are disciples. And disciples keep showing up, not to prove our worth, but to participate in Christ's ongoing story of love, justice, and grace. Amen. I invite you to join together and let's sing deep in our hearts.
Thank you.
this is our time for faith sharing, and so it's a time where you are most welcome to come and share a story about where you've seen God at work in the world, something about the scriptures that have touched your hearts, or maybe something about the church, what have you. You're welcome to come and do that, and if no one has anything to share, we'll sit in silence and let the Holy Spirit speak to us.
Shirley Wellman. Something interesting I heard early in Aaron's service was sometimes we think God isn't answering our prayers. And one very wise soul told me one time, I don't remember who, bless them, sometimes the answer's no. And maybe that's because we're not praying for the right thing. And it came really to bear at when Bruce was so sick. And he got one thing after another. And you all know you're praying that he's going to get better. I mean, that's what we all do. And then probably a good little angel up there or somebody happened to put into my brain, you should be asking God for what is best for him. And that's what I finally did. So when the time finally came, it was a lot easier to accept. And that was a better answer than I could have ever prayed for.
I'm Judy Pendinga. Last night, we dropped my daughter at the airport. She is on her way to South Africa, to Johannesburg, to the conference that the International Network of Genocide Scholars sponsors every 2 years. She is there because her calling is as a peacemaker and a healer. She is a delegate. She won't be speaking or anything, but it is worldwide. And I would ask this congregation's prayers for her and for the conference that genocide may be acknowledged and eliminated from the world. Thank you.
We are called to help build a city where no one journeys alone, and we know that it takes a lot of energy, a lot of resources to make that work. And so we take time to present all that we put into the ministry that we do together. Some of it fits nicely on an offering plate, and some of it we hold spiritually, but we take time to present that in our prayers. Let's pray. Loving God, we recognize that your blessings come in so many ways. We seek to be a blessing to others.
Use and multiply these gifts so that the work of our church here and around the world can be seen in your caring presence. Amen.
Please be seated. Let's pray. God, who listens, you invite us to pray always and to not lose heart. So here we are again, your people, our voices joining a long line of those who have asked and hoped and trusted that you hear. We pray for all who are weary from asking, for those who cry out for justice and who are still waiting to be heard, for those who stand in food lines and wonder if there will be enough, for farmers who watch the sky and wait for rain so that it might top up the water tables for the growing season to come, for children who go to bed with empty stomachs. Teach us, persistent one, to keep praying and to live as the answer to one another's prayers. We pray for all who work to feed others, for growers and harvesters, for cooks and servers, for food banks and community gardens, for every hand that turns generosity into nourishment. May their work be blessed and their persistence sustained. We pray for all who are fighting tired battles, for peace where there is war, for fairness where there is exploitation, for compassion where hearts have grown hard. Help us not to lose heart even when the systems seem unmovable. Remind us that even the smallest act of love can, like a drop of water over time, wear down even the hardest stone. We pray for one another, for all in our community who feel unheard, unseen, or uncertain, for all of us who struggle to find that faith that endures, and for us, that we may become a people of steady hope, trusting that your realm is coming even when we can't see its harvest. God of persistence and of promise, keep us faithful in prayer, fierce in compassion, and joyful in the work of justice. We pray all this in the name of Christ, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to join in our final hymn, There's a Wideness in God's Mercy. So just before the blessing, a reminder that I'm sure you can smell it. It's a soup lunch. You are welcome to stay and participate and help raise funds to cover the cost of restoring the bells. And so as we leave this place and go into a world filled with injustice and despair, may we persist in being the church, holding on to hope with determination and not giving up on God's dream. Go from here wrapped in the persistent grace of the one who created you, of the one who redeemed you, and of the one who sustains you.
Oh,